Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hello Universe. It's Eva here.
It's Kylie. Welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah, we missed you. And we're so excited about this week's podcast because we just finished recording it and it was so much fun. Our guest Colin is just on fire. Left us with like a really great energy. So we can't wait to introduce you to that. But before, I guess we're going to share some updates.
Yeah. Eva, what do you have going on?
Well, I just got back from visiting my brother in Los Angeles, like last night, made that 7-hour drive back. It's actually, you know what? I was really dreading the drive, but it turned out to be like, it's only three Hello Universe episodes long.
Because we have the world's longest podcast.
Yeah, totally. It's like, I can listen to three of our episodes and I'll be there in no time. Okay. Anyway, gosh, it was so good. Like so good to be with family in this time of a pandemic. I was noticing that I was craving that kind of family connection as well. And I have the privilege that I'm in Arizona and they're in California. So like, I don't have to fly there. I can drive there. And it's not until now that I'm back that I'm realizing, like, I felt like my soul really needed it. And so I feel tired in a very different way the reason that I went was because my brother has two kids. And so him and his wife are trying to work from home and also, you know, do this home, just take care of the kids at the same time. And I don't know how parents do it. I truly don't. It's so much work. It's so much attention. There's just like so much going on. Anyway, so I wanted to go and just help out and, everything. I was just talking about how it's such a unique and special experience that I got to be able to spend time with my family in this way. Like, I will never have unfiltered quality time with my nephews like this, maybe ever again, where we're just stuck in our house alone. Or not alone, like stuck in our house though, without having any distractions. They're not running off to like some lesson or school or whatever. I just get to like be with them. And that felt so nice. Yeah.
And I'm sure they were so stoked to have you, both your nephews and maybe even more so your brother and sister.
Yeah. I mean, I think it worked out really well. They you know, they seem to be really appreciative. They got to sleep in a couple of days. But also the kids, like, so one of my nephews is only two and I think he's like, you know, confused. He's like, where is everyone? I think he's just happy just to see someone, like see people. And he kept it was just so cute. So he calls me Gugu, which is the Chinese name for not aunt, but like it's a specific title that you give to your brother's sister. And so every time I left the room, he'd be like, where's Gugu? Where's Gugu? And he would just like be looking for me. I know. And I would, oh God, just, it just really fills up the heart. And yeah, I don't know. And I had like all the Asian food that I wanted to eat, which also felt very nourishing. And it's already over 100 degrees here in Arizona, which is crazy because it's, you know, barely May. So being able to be like in nicer climate was also really nice. So all in all, really great trip. Nobody killed anybody. Had lots of water gun fights. It was great.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah, oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, my in-laws have been and my mother have been like just huge, huge helps for us during this pandemic. And I am like so, so, so grateful for, you know, when Nana comes to visit, when we're here with my in-laws. It's a lot even with their help. So I can't imagine it without their help.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know. I just have this, I feel like I just want to say something to parents. I'm not a parent, so I don't know if I'm like equipped to speak to this, but I do think that right now is a time where parents just have to be really kind and patient with themselves. Like it's going to be messy and I think all parents are losing their shit everywhere and you're just not going to get it right. And I think the worst thing that you can do is then just like worry about bad parenting or beat yourself up if you maybe lose your, like if you are short with your kids, because then when you beat yourself up, that's just like another added layer of stress.
Yeah.
And
this is true. This is wise. I literally started my therapy session the other week by being like, can we talk about rage? Because I'm gonna lose it on my three-year-old for like the next, because his thing now is like he's resisting naps. So like it's, and it's surprisingly triggering. So yeah. I think being gentle with yourself is number one. And then I also think if you have the bandwidth to get curious about where you lose your shit, because it's probably telling you something. And if you don't have the bandwidth, just put a post-it note in it and come back to it at a later time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Yeah, just write it down in a journal somewhere, and then we're gonna all have to process this anyway, like as we move on.
Yeah,
a lot of this isn't gonna be clear into how our kids are affected and how we're affected until actually after the fact. So yeah, just gonna put a pin in it and come back to it later.
Yeah, yep.
But seriously, shout out to all parents. You guys are fucking awesome. And I really do think, like, as long as you're like, you love your kids, and obviously you're not like hurting them, you know, you're in any way, and like you're keeping them alive, you're doing a good job.
Yep. Yep. And we will figure out what comes next when it comes next.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's very wise words. Thank you. All of the parents in the world needed to hear it. So thank you for that.
What's up with you?
Okay. Connie? Before we jump to, oh my gosh. So, I am in the middle of launching my course, and it has been the most amazing, beautiful, also terrifying, but mostly just like really incredible experience. I don't think I've named the course on the podcast. If you, if you aren't in our Facebook group, you might not know the name yet. So the course is called Alchemy for Healers.
Love it.
I have never believed in something as strongly as I do this course. And the more that I like work on it and flush it out and talk about it, and like the more I just like my whole body is like, this is the work.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Which is like a really, really cool feeling. So yeah, I'll just share a little bit about it if I can have your ears. Which is, the whole course is designed around this idea that you know, there is no moment, it has never been more important, I think, for those of us who are healers, intuitives, coaches, or have a dream of being one of those, being a healer, to step up and be of service right now. And I think so many of us are carrying around these stories that are keeping us small, right? Like, so many people have incredible gifts or feel this pull towards exploring the side of themselves, but they're convinced, who am I to ask for this? My gifts aren't strong enough. I'm not special enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. You know, they struggle to trust themselves. They struggle to trust that the universe is actually a safe space and will catch them. But there's this whole like terrible heavy backpack that we're lugging around with us, thinking that it's, that we are the backpack. And you can just fucking put it down.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be who you are, and it doesn't have to define how slowly you plod through the world. And so the whole course is 8 weeks long. It includes an intensive workshop each week where we're going to pick apart one of these sort of limiting beliefs or old stories. We're just going to fucking unpack it. And then it won't have such a stranglehold over you. And we'll work through each of these each week. And the other amazing part is that everyone else in the course is the healer. So like, you're in a course like where we will collectively, we will be healing together and healing each other, because you're going to be virtually rubbing elbows with a Reiki master and a creative artist and a beautiful coach, and we're all in it together, right? And I really, really, really have designed it with an eye towards community, because I think that this personal development work can feel lonely.
Yeah, community is so important. It really can like uplift you and affirm you and make you not feel crazy when otherwise you alone you might. Yeah.
And obviously I'll be bringing the Akashic Records into it. There's like, you know, a workbook for every single week, each theme. Like, it's so content rich. And then at the, and the reason for this is that, so we'll clear all the energy, all like the blocks, all these stuff that is keeping you small. And then at the end, we're having a money, we're having a business boot camp.
Oh, yes,
because
yes,
once
yes,
you've cleared through the shit, then you can show up and learn strategy and come up with a real practical game plan. Because, you know, if you know Eve and I, we love the practical.
Yeah.
And I have been working in sales and sales leadership for a decade, and I'm bringing in some special guests who know a shitload about marketing and branding and niching, and we're going to do a whole week-long boot camp, because then you're ready for the strategy, because you've gotten rid of the baggage that's telling you that you'll never amount to anything anyway, because you can't strategize your way out of this idea that you're already a failure from the get-go.
Yeah, mindset's always got to come first. Mindset is really the foundation for everything. At least I call it mindset. I don't know if that's the same language, but that's what it sounds like to me, right? Like what you're believing and thinking that gets in your way.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you are a healer, if you have dreams of being a healer, but you feel like you can't kind of get out the door, if you can feel on some level that you're here for something big and you are struggling to connect with it, this course will change your life. I really fucking believe that. So you should sign up. You can sign up on my website. You can also sign up you can either sign up for the course or you can sign up for the course plus one-on-one coaching with me, and we'll do Akashic Records healing sessions. We'll do it all. If you want to learn more about it, if you want to talk about where you're at and how this might apply, then you can DM me or you can book a consult call right on my website. But every single time, if you're listening to this and you're kind of part of you is really lighting up at this, I will say every single time I have felt an intuitive hell yes to working with a coach or taking a course or doing some kind of self-care practice, that has never let me down. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the very first time I had that ping was when I started working with Eva. And look where that brought me.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Well, I will take that.
It'll change your life if you listen to those intuitive pulls, whether it's to take this class or whether it's to like go on the trip or whatever it is, it will change your life if you listen to those pings. And so if you are having that ping that's like, oh my God, I want to take this course, that would be cool, but I'm not a healer yet, or I'm not whatever. Those are the old stories that we're going to clear away. It's going to be amazing. We're going to change your life.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. Okay. Wait, so I have questions. Do you have a start date?
Oh, yes. May 18th. My birthday is May 15th.
So, oh, my goodness.
I don't know why that is important. I guess so you can tell me happy birthday, guys. No. I was going to make my birthday the final day that someone was like, you should let people have the weekend to sign up. So fine. Mm. If you're really stragglers, you can have the weekend to sign up. Okay. May 18th, it's going to start. It's running for 8 weeks. All of the workshops will be recorded. So if you can't make the workshop, you will still be able to.
I love this so much because I'm getting the sense that this course is going to be an opportunity to work intimately with other healers who are on the same course as you, on the same path as you. And honestly, what happened, I've taken courses before where I think the groups get really, really big and then it loses its intimacy and also some of its effectiveness. I think, in my opinion, like I like small, intimate, hands-on groups. And like now you can get Kylie in this capacity, which may not be the case if she like blows up. So like now I think is a really good time to jump on that. And again, I just want to echo, I can't stress the importance of working alongside other people.
Yeah.
You can't, I think coaching, so speaking as a coach, like it can be a very isolating experience. So I've had to really be intentional about reaching out to other people and creating that community for myself. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know if I'd be doing the work that I was doing. You can't do it alone. I love it. Okay, so May 18th, that's coming up. And also you're going to be with a group of people. And also, so they also have a chance of, so does it, you guys like meet weekly? Is that how that works? Like a weekly call?
You meet weekly. There's going to be a private Facebook group. I'm doing lots of exercises so that the private Facebook group is going to be like lots of conversation all the time. And then you can also sign up to do one-on-one coaching with me throughout it, in which we'll do coaching, and also we'll use your Akashic Records to go a little bit deeper on these things.
Awesome. I love that. So cool.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm very excited. And I think it's so great that you get to use this. I don't know. It's like you've been keeping us in the loop about your journey throughout this podcast. And I love that. So I can want to continue to hear about that.
Yeah. And I will also say one last thing, which is just that one of the reasons I believe so much in this, which is this is what happens, right? Rumi has the quote that like your wound is where the light comes in. Mm. your journey is the way, as you heal yourself, you heal others, right? And my journey has been one of clearing through the shit. I knew strategy inside and out. I've been doing sales and sales leadership for over a decade, guys. It wasn't until I cleared my own baggage around my own worth and the stories that I was carrying around with me for 3+ decades that I started to actually be able to fully embody the work that I'm here to do. And the same thing will happen for you.
Yeah. So I agree. Totally agree. All right.
Okay. So that was a lot. Eva, what are you doing? What's up with you?
So I want to promote, I have two things going on. The 4-week meditation program and also the longer 3-month mindset coaching program, I guess is what you would call it. So for people who are interested in working with me more short term, I think people who are spiritually inclined to want to either finally develop a meditation practice, or deepen the practice that they already have and be able to share that with somebody so that they can, I think sometimes when we're going through our process of self-realization, it's hard when we're doing it on our own, but when we kind of have someone that we can dissect what it is that we're learning about and how to apply it into our everyday lives, like that can be really helpful. Cause I think what a lot of my clients have said would be like, they were meditating, but then they were like, well, how do I actually, like, what does this mean? I don't know how this actually changes my life. How can I bring my meditation off the mat, like into my relationships and into my job and into, you know, making more money or my health and all those things. So that's something that I think can be really helpful about the 4-week meditation program. And then also for people who want to create, I think, bigger changes in their life, this is more for people who are spiritually inclined, but also for people who don't consider themselves spiritually inclined and I think are more set on mindset and changing behavior or attaining a bigger goal. I think this program could be really good for you. And I mean, just wanted to read a testimonial that a client just left me, which was really sweet. She wrote, this program was amazing and I would recommend it to anyone who wants to learn more about themselves and improve their quality of life. I honestly feel like I accomplished way more than intended. I'm kind of amazed at how much I've learned. It definitely went above and beyond my expectations. Yeah, I mean, that's really about it. If you're interested in working with me, there's sort of the short form and the long form. You can book a free consult with me at evaliao.com or you can find me on Instagram. And I'm offering a discount right now for both programs. And that's about it.
Do it. Again, if you are feeling the intuitive pull, you will not regret listening to it, especially when it comes to working with mentors, coaches, healers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really true that every time I have worked with somebody, I have up-leveled.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people say there's this annoying people, this annoying, I used to think it was annoying anyway, but like, oh, you have to invest in yourself. So that you can, like, you know, learn and grow. And I think I used to like not like that because I think it made it sound as if it was like you had to put your power in the arms of somebody else so that you can learn what you need to learn. But I actually think that if you're working with the right people, what they really empower you to do is to connect with your own strength, and they sort of teach you or guide you into how you can listen to yourself so that you can do this work on your own so that you don't have to rely on people on the outside forever. But we all kind of have to start somewhere. Yeah. My favorite quote about this is like, no one can do your work for you and you can't do it alone, which I have found to be very, very true.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So all of that. Speaking of being in relationship with others, today's guest speaks all about the power of relationships and the ways in which our relationships are spiritual and spirituality is relationships in a really, really beautiful way.
Yes. So Colin, I can't say enough good things about this interview. He's just fun, intelligent, funny, kept it real. I mean, we talked about everything from, like you mentioned, relationships to, I mean, he helped me understand my sign as a Capricorn a lot more. We talked even about business and haters and, what else did we talk about?
Me being a Taurus, we learned all about me, which I loved. Colin just has incredibly dynamic energy, super fun, super smart. Really, one of the things I've always loved about his work is that he makes astrology relatable at the same time that he has very high expectations of it. which he actually gets into in the episode. And also he's hilarious. So you're going to just love it. Actually, and I'll tell you specifically his bio. So Colin Bedell is a queer Gemini twin, an astrologer, a best-selling author, and he writes the weekly astrology column at Cosmo.com, which my 13-year-old self loves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Without further ado.
Enjoy. Hi, Colin.
Hi, bitches. It's an honor to be here.
Yes. So as you know, our first question is a doozy, which is, what does spirituality mean to you? And how does it show up in your everyday life?
That is a wonderful question. Let's get right to the good stuff. So to me, spirituality is just the path of the heart, and the arena by which it shows up the most effectively is in my relationships with others.
Oh, God, that's gorgeous. Okay.
Oh, thank you, Taurus. Thank you. You know, you're ruled by Venus, all about relationships. Yes. To me, it's just the inner knowing. It's what the Course in Miracles calls the highly individualized spiritual curriculum. It is just the path of the heart, right? The heart knows the wisdom that we need to live a self-actualized life. And I don't believe that anything is relegated to spirituality past relationships. I think that it is the most effectively applied in our interpersonal relationships, because when our spiritual path is aligned, our relationships are aligned. And any spirituality that's relegated to like all about me and my self-care and me and my, it's a lot of different things, but we don't want to put the camouflage of spirituality on it. It's just narcissism. To me, if it's spiritual, it's by definition we. It's about us.
Wow. I really love that. I don't know if I've had anyone really explain it that way before, but I think that makes sense, because it's like self-realization and relationships. What the hell else is more important than the relationships in our lives?
And how can we get self-realized but through the love given and received with others?
Or I would even say the lessons that we have to learn from others.
Right, through love, right? Because I think the Course in Miracles says it beautifully. This course does not aim to teach the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It aims to remove the blocks you hold against love's coming.
Well, you kind of already are jumping on something that I want to talk about, Colin, which is the Course in Miracles. Yes. So I know that that's something that you've studied, and I just wanted, could you actually describe what the Course in Miracles is for our audience, for people who may not be familiar with it? And then I just have a gazillion questions about it following.
Oh great. Okay. So it is a self-study program of universal psychotherapy through the study and application of universal spiritual themes. It began being scribed in New York City in 1968. So for the history dweebs out there, we know that 1968 was really, it made 2016 look like a fucking joke. Like, it was the peak of the Vietnam War. Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy were assassinated. And it was the deep struggle of applying civil rights in the American South. So it was absolutely one of the most political, turmoiled chapters of our history, right? So a psychiatrist at Columbia University, her name was Dr. Helen Schuckman. She was Jewish by affiliation. She said she was culturally Jewish, but not spiritually Jewish, right? So she said out loud, there has to be another way, because I cannot believe that we can just continue fighting and at war with one another. And then she heard a voice tell her, this is A Course in Miracles, Helen, please take notes. Mm-hmm. And she's a practitioner of psychiatry at Columbia University, for crying out loud. So if somebody is telling her an inner dictation, like, she goes, whoa, this is weird. So she said to her, I don't know, that's probably not what she said verbatim, but I'm just like, you know.
A version of that.
Yeah, you know, she probably knows, ooh, I'm a psychiatrist, this is strange. So she said to her colleague, Bill Thetford, who was there, also a psychiatrist at Columbia, and a gay man, interestingly enough, said, listen, I'm hearing somebody tell me, take notes. And Bill said, we'll take the fucking notes. And they started scribing, and they scribed for 10 years. And the Course in Miracles went to its first publication in 1976.
Wow. Yeah.
And it just trains the student to unlearn the dominant wisdom of fear. And wisdom, I mean air quotes, because there's nothing wise about it. It trains us to unlearn the dominant social conditioning and wisdom of fear, to remember the thought system based on love, which is natural to us, because we live in a world that teaches us that which is unnatural is natural and that which is natural is unnatural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's completely upside down. So the Course in Miracles is a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy to help the student unlearn the thought system of fear, to remember the thought system based on love, which is the only natural intelligence to humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I have a copy of A Course in Miracles sitting on my bookshelf. Wonderful. I've had it there for years, but it's so fucking big though. It's huge. And what I want to know, because the way that it works for people who don't know, it's like every
1800 pages.
It's crazy. It's like that. And every lesson is something that you like have to, I think the suggestion is that every day you do a lesson, right?
Correct.
And so every day there's like a different thing that you might do to help you, like you were saying, unlearn. And it's like a spiritual course essentially.
Yes.
I picked it up all gung ho, maybe did like two, maybe like 5 days of it. And then I just could not keep up with it because it seemed overwhelming. So what I want to know is more about your experience and how, because this is A Course in Miracles is
right.
Huge. I mean, a lot of people have followed it and have found peace through it. And
right.
But I don't know anyone personally who's gone through the whole damn thing.
Okay. No, I understand. Okay. So go ahead.
Can I ask a follow-up question too, or a tag along question, which is the people I know who've gone through the Course in Miracles are like, I feel like this origin story is always that the book kind of like leaps off a shelf at you, right? Everyone I know who's done it seems to have had some like profound moment or connection with it. Mm. And so I'm curious if that's part of your story or not.
That is a wonderful question, Kylie. It's not so that I could talk about myself, but it's true. I find that the students do have a kind of universal initiation to it. Absolutely. Yeah, so it started for me actually during my second Jupiter return. So for the astrological kind of newbies out there, the Jupiter return is a really powerful spiritual moment when we turn an age that's divisible of 11 and a half or 12, right? So I was 23 and I had just gone through a horrible breakup. My career at the time was imploding. I was not doing well academically because that which I placed value in completely imploded, which usually happens at 23, 24, right? Like these people, these jobs, this situation, these friendships, this, that. That which is meaningless does not survive that time, truly, right? Mm-hmm. So I was going through the dark night of the soul, as most spiritual seekers are, where as in AA, I love it, they say your best thinking got you here. And my best thinking got me to a fucking rock bottom, okay? Mm-hmm. But I remember it's one of the first times in a very long time, consciously, I started to pray. And I said, higher power, God, universe, whoever the fuck is up there, I am in a lot of pain. I just drank an entire ZQL and it's not putting me to sleep. So can you help me? And I don't know how it happened, but the next thing I know, I'm watching a YouTube video of a woman named Marianne Williamson talk to Oprah about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did I get here? And then this woman, Marianne Williamson, starts talking and I'm like, who the fuck is this bitch? She is on another level. And I was like, wait, she's right. I was like, oh my God, it's true. I did deflect the miracle. My heart was closed and I was so judgmental and da, 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 da. And then she talked about this big blue book. And then I saw it. I was like, whoa, that's intense. Did she write a book? And she did, A Return to Love. So I picked it up in 2013, devoured it. I swear to God, I ate it like a menu. I was just like, wow. and then in 2015, I purchased the course. It stayed on my nightstand for 2 years because like you, I was like, this is crazy. And then I started just as I was finishing up grad school so I could really give it the cognition that it deserves. And a year later, I was in a completely different direction in life. It was unbelievable. And what's really wonderful is now I actually met Marianne through several professional spaces.
Oh, wow.
And she's a friend and a client of mine. Yeah. So it just kind of happened.
No fucking way.
Swear to God. And she would obviously not care if I mentioned that because have been talking about astrology and A Course in Miracles for a long time. I lectured at her Sister Giant conference in 2017, right after Trump was elected. And she tried to form a space where spiritualists and political scientists and activists can speak about how spirituality leads to liberation, how spirituality leads to inclusion, how spirituality leads to justice. And she let me give a quick little history lesson about the chart of the United States.
Holy shit.
She's fantastic.
Okay, and also,
it's exactly who the fuck she claims to be off camera. Let me tell you. Go ahead.
I have so many questions. I want to ask about the chart of the United States and whatever the hell that is. And also, our stories are so similar because I had the same thing, rock bottom in my 20s, found a return to love that just blew me wide open. Yeah. My life changed from there. And so the fact that you got to meet her and work with her, I'm like, that's just like the universe coming around full circle.
And can I'm going to share something I don't know if I've ever shared before, but I think I'm going to do it. Okay.
Yes.
So the partner that broke up with me and spawned this heartbreak, right? It was the lunar eclipse in Leo, January 31st, 2018. I'll never forget it. All of a sudden, this strange, and this was 6 years after we broke up. No, excuse me, 5 years after we broke up. And all of a sudden, this strange tinge of pain and heartbreak was coming around again with this boy that I was in love with, right? And all of a sudden, I prayed out loud. I said, universe, help me. Clearly, I don't want this rage. I don't want this anger. Help me heal this. And then right clear as day, the universe said, call your ex-boyfriend James, because that's where this fear of rejection came from. I was like, I'm not calling my ex-boyfriend. I was like, universe, I don't think you heard me. I like, no. Let me repeat the statement. I am in pain now with this person. What the fuck does James have anything to do with it? Mm-hmm. And it was like, bitch, did you hear me? I said, call him. So I did. And I was like, hi, I know it's been a while.
Yeah, 5 years later.
Yeah, right. Hey, how are you? Heard you join the Peace Corps. So listen, we have to talk. And I just told him about this really difficult place that I was in. And it was beautiful. He said, look, if you're confronted with the choice right now to be vulnerable, that was when I fell in love with you when you were vulnerable. So please do it. I shouldn't be the only one that saw it. And then Marianne Williamson called me 5 minutes later.
Wow.
The synchronicity. It was like, she called me to ask me a question. And I went back to the person that brought me to her work. He cleared it. It was like a splinter left my psyche. And then she called me to ask me a question about something. Like,
wow.
Lunar eclipse in Leo.
Yeah, God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The universe is wild. Thank you for asking such a specific question.
So I have a question for you. Because like you, I feel like when I'm really in tune, I feel like the universe like says very specific things to me. Like, I mean, I also channel the records, which is, I think that's a particular experience for me, but I know for a lot of people, they experience their kind of pings or intuition in different ways. And so I'm actually just curious, what was your journey? Do you feel like you always heard specific messages and you just ignored them? Or what was your journey to being able to get like, hey, call your ex-boyfriend?
I know. Yeah. And I looked up and I was like, listen, universe, I think you're busy right now. You're distracted. I'm going to repeat the question because clearly you don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me slow down in a language you'll understand.
Right.
Okay. No. So I think that everyone is born with a proclivity to the inner knowing, right? The inner GPS, mm-hmm. the sense of moral authority. I think Christianity and Judaism calls it the small still voice within, right? It's the Buddha, mm-hmm. the Buddha mind, the Shekinah. It's the inner knowing. And I think that what has helped me understand that voice accurately is meditation, prayer, contemplation, forgiveness, and gratitude, is the unlearning mm-hmm. of fear, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I know when that voice is speaking to me, and I know when my voice for self-protection is speaking to me.
Right.
And it's not always easy,
How
right?
How can you tell the difference?
Because one gives me pain and defense and the other gives me forgiveness and love. It's like, wait, what's the emotion that's underpinning the intention? If it's not love, it's fear. And what's not love is a call for love, period. Mm-hmm. That's the Course in Miracles teaching. It is hard to remember these things, right? But I think that honestly, what's the most difficult aspect is getting over our resistance to doing things differently. It's not hard to be a loving person. It's just hard to do things differently. And that resistance to doing things differently is the difficult aspect.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just like deep in thought right now.
Yes. Because that's how I would, right? So like when I'm doing counseling sessions and client readings, and they're like, you want me to forgive my mother? Like, easier said than done, right? And I'm like, is it though?
Right.
Or is your resistance to forgiveness and mercy and tenderness the issue, the resistance to doing it differently? Forgiveness is not hard. It's mm-hmm. just different. And we have to get over our resistance to the difference of love and mercy and compassion, forgiveness, period.
Yeah.
And then we have to be in this in-between space, right? Where like you're transitioning from, you know, maybe anger to forgiveness. And so there's right. a little bit of time where you're actually in both, which is
yes.
in some ways the most acutely painful. Yes. And then you're really that's when you really want to duck and run for cover.
Totally.
Back in anger.
Totally.
And you have to summon like all of your willpower.
Oh, I know.
When shit gets real.
It's when shit gets real.
Fucking moment, right?
Right.
Then.
And that's when the rubber meets the road, Kylie. I mean, that's what I said earlier about how, like, it's real fucking nice if we're just talking about the theory and the abstract intellectual thought of spirituality, but if we're not applying it to our relationships, where the fuck are we applying it to?
Yeah.
Like, look, there's a time and a place for manifestation and being a self-actualizer. I'm 100% on board with that. Learning the power of the mind, yes. But the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our life. Thank you, Esther Perel. So if... You know, if we're not applying these ideas in the realm of relationship, you can call it a lot of things. You can call it metaphysics. You can call it the power of the mind. It is not spiritual.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open up a can of lemonade.
Oh, yes, please. You gotta quench that thirst.
That's it, because I'm just fucking yapping.
Dropping so much knowledge.
And I like sip the tea, right? Literally, I'm mm-hmm. sipping the tea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know, going back to your question, Kylie, about how do you tell the difference? I mean, you also have experience with this, Kylie, and how do you tell the difference? You know what I mean? Like we all have our own, I think this is such an interesting topic for people who might be listening, who are on the spiritual path or spiritual seekers, is that this is a lesson that we all individually yes. need to have to learn, is like how to discern yes. your fearful, intrusive,
yes.
small self thoughts from your higher self, from the truth. And like, this is like, yeah. it's work. This is where the practice is. And that's also why I think still like slowing the fuck down. Like I think yes. slowing down and stillness is a requirement, because you can't hear it when it's like all, when you're going.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Eva. Do you have anything to say about that, Kylie, as a Taurus sun? Because you do know the power of tenacity and focus and follow through.
Do I though?
I know. Theoretically, you might, right? But no, I'm with. Go ahead.
This is interesting. Of astrology, very dearest friend is an incredible astrologer, and so she's like my wonderful. Go-to. I've shared this with her before, but I feel when I read things about Aries moon, moon, I'm like, yes, this is me. Like,
yes.
I have intense feelings and I relate yes. to this. And I read things about Taurus and I'm like, is that me though? I guess I like naps. I can get on board with naps.
Oh God, yes, I know. Okay.
So yeah, so I'm like on a journey. Someone recently pointed out to me that my north node is in Taurus, and so maybe I'm like on a journey to actually like I'm like on a journey to integrate that part of myself, but I don't
yes. know. Okay, there's many ways to go into that. Okay, so north node in Taurus, so you are in your, can I talk about your age or is that unacceptable?
Oh yeah, sure. I'll be 35 in 11 days.
That's right, so mid-30s. I have been told that we become our sun sign more actively after 33 years old is when we embody our sun sign. We're born a moon, right? So we are born fundamentally the nature of that moon sign. So you having a deep connection to Aries makes so much fucking sense. But the moon sign is where you're comfortable. It's not where you grow. The sun sign is where you grow.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And embodying actively the stories and the values of the sun sign allows us to be the star of our own fucking lives.
You know, that also makes so much sense, because the other piece of, aside from naps, the piece of Taurus that I relate to, it's like really naps are crazy, is the like nerd, like I'm a mom of two little kids, and so like the kind of like grounded mother earth nature-y
yes.
nurturing vibe
yes. Yes.
which came upon when I hit my mid-30s, you know, hit my early mid-30s, so that
beautiful.
Is on point.
And I think Taurus energy, I would argue, is probably the most simplistically defined in astrology.
Yes.
So
yes, you're like, you're materialistic, and you're like, no.
I know. If you could see my face right now, audience, I know. Like when people go, yeah, Taurus loves big dicks, fat checks, and good food. I'm like, who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
Well, there are a few who don't like fat dicks, but I'm like, right. Who doesn't love big checks and good food? Like, what are you talking about? You know? So I always get very defensive of my Taurus ruled friends because what they honestly initiate, Kylie, is safety and security. So if you are a steward of safety and security to yourself and your loved ones, you are shining with this, the heat of Taurus, man.
Oh my God, I love that. I love it. That is Kylie, know, safety and security. Yes, that is what she, I think, also nurturing. And that really sums it up beautifully. Right. I love that.
Yes, Taurus is safety. And so like when my high-minded Taurus friends walk in, I'm like, I gasp. I'm like, oh, look, my Earth mother's here. Or like, you know, like I call my Taurus male friends my room captains. They like really hold space for me. You know, they're just like, boom. But like they are just magnificently safe. And that's a deep need we all have, you know, is security. We all have security needs and Taurus initiates that.
Yeah, I just had this picture of Kylie like as Mother Earth right now, like rising from the earth, which I love. So
oh my God, I'm loving this so much because I'm working on receiving. So I'm just, thank you.
Receive it, girlfriend. Yes,
I'm loving this. Thank you. Thank you.
I love the Taurus influence friends in my life so much. And I get very like, when people talk about that, they're just, you know, really materialistic and shallow. That I have not experienced them in that way at all.
Yeah, so, neither have I.
I will always go to bat for you guys in that way.
Thanks, Cole. Okay. This isn't the only reason that I invited you on our podcast, but thank you for saying that great reason about me and my sign.
Of course, always, always.
Okay. I want to get all into astrology because, like I mentioned earlier, you're our first astrologist on the show, but also I think, so I want to be the voice of, I love astrology and I am into astrology, yet I also don't know anything about astrology. So I don't know how those two things work. It's almost like I think I have a very generalized understanding of like people's signs. I know the signs of the people who I've dated in the past, but when I start reading about shit like moon is in this and something is going into that or what, I'm just like, I don't understand what any of that means. I want to learn.
So you would like me to summarize the school of astrological thought in the time that we have?
We have, in like 15 minutes.
Oh my God. Gemini loves a challenge. Can you summarize like 6,000 years worth of a study? No, I think, okay. So the way that I interpret astrology, and I'm going to kind of begin by illustrating, everybody has a highly individualized astrological chart, right? So everybody has an astrology chart. And when I, as an astrologer, see the chart that is calculated based on the person's birth date and year, the exact time of birth and the location of birth, when it shows us a map of time, it is showing us where the sun, the moon, and all of the planets are in the 12 zodiac signs, or otherwise known as the constellations. Mm-hmm. So when you say I'm a Capricorn, I'm a Taurus, what you're actually saying is I was born while the sun was transiting the constellation Taurus. I was born while the sun was transiting constellation Capricorn. It's the constellations. Yeah. And that's true. Okay. If you walk out with the app called Skyview, when the moon is in Libra, like it is today, right? And then you search for the moon, it will be by the constellation Libra. I mean, this is very easy to see on our phones just understand from that space, right? So when I see a chart then, and I can see that map of time, it tells me a clear story about the client's highest and brightest outcomes possible for them in this lifetime.
Wow.
And as an astrologer, I believe that I have the responsibility to hold that vision of what's possible for them. Because each planet, I always tell them at the beginning of this reading, this is my spiel, each planet is a storyteller telling a particular theme. So the sun tells the theme of the identity that you are meant to inhabit in this lifetime. The moon tells the story of the emotional safety, your joys, your vulnerabilities, your fears, your shames, your hopes, right? Mm-hmm. Mercury, how do you analyze information? How do you language it? How do you listen? Venus, how do you fall in love? What's your relationship to money? What's your relationship to values? Mars, self-worth, eroticism, right? Every single planet tells the story of that theme. The zodiac sign by which it's transiting represents the story by which that theme is meant to be told the most effectively. Right? Mm-hmm. So for example, I have a Mars in Cancer. So my eroticism is meant to be expressed and unleashed only when I have emotional safety. Cancer, right? Yeah. In the 11th house. So it could be with a friend. It could be in a person that feels like a friend, and then the spark arrives, right? So you could see how that story is told. The house placement represents the environment. And then, so those are planets, signs, houses. The aspects represent the supportive energy, right? So if you say have Venus square Saturn, you can never talk about your Venus without talking about Saturn. These are energies that need to be integrated and managed. And that's what tells the whole story. And that's what an astrologer ought to do in the reading, is hold that vision possible so that if the client says, oh my God, that is how I am when it comes to sex, I can't have recreational casual sex, then I can confirm to them, no, girl, don't worry about it. That's just the way that's in your chart. Like, more power to you, honey. If you honor that nature, you'll find yourself in successful outcomes.
Yeah.
But there are places, like especially with the fire signs, believe it or not, right? Where they go, I'm not a typical Sag. I'm not a typical Aries. I'm not a typical Leo. Because, right? What they're confused is like, I don't want the attention. But then I'm like, why don't you want the attention? Was it shamed out of you? Are you female identified? So who are you to stand in your power? Hello. Right? Like, yeah. Are you multiply marginalized? So like, who do you think you are? So there's a lot of stories that then I have to detangle so they can go, it is true. I do want to do that. I'm like, yeah, I know. So let's, you know, interrupt these considerations. You can get caught up to the vision of your chart, and then I'm going to get the fuck out of the way so you can continue living your best life.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I interpret astrology, is from a strengths-based approach, which frankly, a lot of astrologers don't fucking do. And I'm
about that.
And it got me into hot water, but I'm a Gemini, so I live for the scandal.
I love it. Good. I love a good scandal.
Me too.
So can you say more about that?
Yeah.
The scandal or?
I mean, gossip if you want, but specifically right. Attention that you see within astrology.
Sure. Yeah. Because I have to say, I love free will astrology. That's what I was always reading for a long time. But I think when I was in a very anxious state, I had the tendency to, sometimes I feel like astrology can be fear inducing. And that's when it's not helpful, when people are like,
hello,
you shouldn't be doing this and you should be avoiding this. And all of a sudden you're like following all of these rules from outside of yourself. And I'm like, doesn't seem helpful. So
thank you.
Yay, did I get an A?
Yes, totally Capricorn. Yes, 100%. Yay. I just want to be an overachiever. Yes. But then again, honestly, the sad part is that, like, Eva, if we said that to a room of astrologers, I'd be like, well, we just feel like we have to tell the truth, blah, blah, blah. Look, I always lean on this conversation on the work of Dennis Levy. He was a social worker out of the University of Kansas, and he developed a whole modality called strengths-based assessment rather than deficit-based. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at the paradigm of a deficit-based approach to social work versus a strengths-based approach to social work, I knew the shadow of my industry right fucking there. It was in black and white. And a social worker told me, I'm an astrologer, because what's the deficit? Focus on the problem. I have all the answers, right?
Yeah.
Whereas strengths-based says, no, actually you, the person who lives in this experience, does. And so does theoretically your social support. So let's get you re-engaged to the relationships to determine the quality of your life, hello, and other things, so that we can actually help you feel a sense of agency and autonomy. And there's a lot of words in astrology that are not only fear-inducing, but they speak to the deficit. They make people feel like they should have shame. And on top of that, they're more fundamentally flawed. And I just am not fucking here for it. And I cannot believe that people defend it, that people don't see it. And people in the astrological community just totally turn a blind eye to the irresponsible use of the language that they share. And in what? To protect what's right? So the scandal was, after I got in trouble, I got sent to the principal's office of astrology, and I was like, I said what I said. I know I fucked up and I said what I said, right? So I acknowledged where I was inaccurate. I misspoke on something very specifically, right? So I totally took responsibility for that. Though I said, well, moving forward, what we need to do is have a conversation about what this system means for you, because I'm here for that. But we also need to talk about the harm that it's doing for others, and that needs to exist side by side. And if you don't have a listening for one or the other, then let's call a spade a spade. You're fucking simplistic. Thank you very much for coming to my TED Talk. Now get lost. Gemini scandal.
So was that like well received? I mean, I'm sure there's got to be other people who agree with you, right? I love that you're connecting social justice work with astrology and like using that same route.
Well, I'm trying, Eva. But then again, there were people who were using pseudo profound social justice terminology and accusing me of having a colonizer's mindset.
Oh, interesting.
Because yeah. I went to the ancients and I said it was incorrect. No, what I was saying is that maybe we want to update these theories and connect it to the leading evidence-based research on sexual desire and eroticism. Or by all means, defend what gives you dysfunction. I mean, please, and go with God. But don't call it astrology, you know? Like, don't, not on my watch. So I try. And then there are others who are more spiritual and socially progressive, absolutely. And they go, oh, that is true. I did learn that in the School of Social Work. And academia is complicated too. So I'm not saying like all the answers are found in the ivory tower. No, but I just really am trying to bridge the best of both worlds because we should be saying the same thing. We should be trying to discover the truth. We should not be saying anything from an astrological lens that is not supported by evidence-based research, period. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. The shit's fucking complicated though.
It is. But, and life is complicated. So it's like, yeah, I know. And this is the deal with the devil. So grow up, everybody. You know, like, you know, and P.S., because Jupiter's in Capricorn, and you will totally love this, Eva. Mm-hmm. I make it my mission to find a way in every single piece of work I fucking do to say, let me tell you what you're not entitled to. Comfort. You're entitled to safety. You're not entitled to comfort. So, it's uncomfortable that I'm asking you to defend the ideas that provide dysfunction to other people's lives? Let me see what you got.
Mm-hmm. Because that's where growth happens, right? Hello? If you're not uncomfortable, then you're not expanding. If you're not expanding, you're... So, and actually, this is interesting because when we first started chatting, I don't know if you remember, but I specifically said how much I love this thread of personal responsibility that runs through your work.
Oh, thank because, you. Yes, you did.
Yeah, and so I'm glad that this that was one of my notes that I wanted to bring up. So I'm glad it came up organically. But because I think there's a way in which you know, our ego craves labels. They make us feel safe. Right?
Totally.
So there's a way in which we can shore ourselves up with all sorts of labels, right? Like, I'm a mom, I'm a Taurus, I'm a this, I'm an Akashic Records reader, rather than I'm trying to shift to say, like, I read the Akashic Records because one is a label. Anyway, sometimes my bio doesn't allow me enough sick letters, and then I have to go
back. Aries moon problems.
Yeah.
I need more letters to talk about. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm going to tell you, Aries, my best friend is an Aries moon, Kylie. And I'm always like, I want you to give me level 10 out of 10 on that Aries moon, honey. Go ahead. I love everything about it.
This is really funny. Yeah, no, it's hilarious having parts of yourself reflected back at you. Totally. So, I'm curious to know how you feel like, if you could speak to the way you express this notion of personal responsibility within astrology, because in some ways it seems like it's a particularly fine needle to thread, because you can really easily pick up all these labels that make you feel safe, and then I built this little house, and I have to stay in here, as opposed to using it. I find in your work you're using it as a means of expansion. So how do you do that? How's the balance for you?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, it's tough, right? Because I am trying to stay in my values and convictions. And there are other astrologers who are with me in this dialogue. Thank God. I'm certainly not the first, less, the only. And there's so much I want to say about that. The first thing I want to say is that the ego loves labels and the ego loves complexity. Because if the ego loves anything, it's talking about itself. So it's like, let's just keep exploring why I'm so fucked up. Let's put sprinkles on it. Let's talk more about it. In fact, let's go to my past lives, because this one isn't enough to talk about all the reasons why I'm fucked up. Let's go to my former lifetimes and talk about the fact that I've repeated this trauma. And my Capricorn Moonist is sitting there like, yo, get me the fuck out of here. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? That's number fucking one. Number two, related to the threat of personal responsibility. Yes, I'm a Capricorn stellium. So if I am not holding principles related to emotional self-mastery, what the fuck am I doing? I'm not honoring the nature of my astrology. And look, if other people don't like my flavor, that's fine. You can unfollow me and go elsewhere. I don't lose sleep over it. If I'm, you know, go where you get your shot of whiskey and your cup of tea. If I'm not serving it to you, that's fine, you know? And I really do believe that if we are not helping other people take radical ownership of who they are, who they are in relationships, who they are in the universe at large, and then also cultivating conversations that are needed right now around resilience. What the fuck are we doing? Mm-hmm. Because there are so many practitioners and theorists, thank the good Lord, around trauma treatment. And I'm here for it, right? Because no, we need to have these conversations. But if that conversation does not exist side by side with trauma recovery, then again, the analysis is simplistic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who just want to keep the cast on the broken fracture and not have the conversation about what it means to take the cast off and reintegrate the fracture into your external experience. And I know that's unpopular, and I know people are going to be uncomfortable by it, but I tell everybody all the time, you're not responsible for anybody's comfort level, and neither the fuck am I. So if you're uncomfortable by what the fuck I'm saying, then again, you can get lost, because I have an allegiance to knowledge above all else, Gemini sun. So if you don't want to reconcile with those ideas, you don't have to listen to me. I don't have a monopoly on it. But then just go away or come at me with some feedback, because I was trained in academic circles. I'm hardwired for that. Oh, you missed this literature, you missed this data, you missed this study. Have you thought about that? We can go there. But if you have the foregone conclusion that you've just convinced yourself that I'm a person who is, you know, a colonizer mindset, then I have nothing to talk to you about, because I'm already guilty in your eyes. So see ya. You know what I mean? And I don't fucking care. Like, I'm not the one. You're talking to a Gemini stellium. Like, I cannot be played, as Prince said beautifully. So go ahead. You play me, you play yourself. Get out of here. I don't know.
I feel like anyone to this who, anyone who's listening to this right now who's like trying to like speak their truth or set a boundary with someone and is feeling like a little nervous about it, I want you to go back and listen to what Colin just said. maybe like lip sync to that in front of the mirror. Because I think everyone can use a little dose.
Oh, God.
For sure.
I don't give a shit.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's really beautiful. Don't. It's
it's healthy. I think it's healthy as well. Yeah. I mean, because otherwise, like, what's the alternative? Like, trying to control people, manipulate people. You can't have everyone like you. And, you know, this is something that I have to learn as well. Sometimes I like go out on my Instagram or wherever it is, I'm trying to say the thing that I think like everyone's going to understand, and it's going to bring everyone. And that just is like exhausting, and it doesn't work. I got to do the whole, we talked about this on a previous podcast too, just like there's a wavelength, and the people who are like appreciating what you're putting down are just going to be on that wavelength. And if they're not, 100%. It's also, it's not personal. The thing. I don't think it's personal. And that's also helpful, because it's just not, that's just the ego making it personal, you know?
Making it about you. And I think you, as a Capricorn sun, of the four agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, the one that you have the closest access to is not taking shit personally.
Yes, it's so true. I love, it's so freeing. It is so freeing.
This is why my husband and I are my husband is a Capricorn sun and moon.
Interesting.
I have like 20 Capricorns, who, like, of my like 25 most important people, like 20 of them are Capricorns. My husband is Capricorn sun and moon, and so he has this incredible ability to be like, I don't give a shit what they think. And I'm like, what do you mean? I am desperate and hungry for people to love me. It's like, well, I like
and you're ruled by Venus. So like, yeah, you're a little bit more relational. That's the hard wiring of your assignment. But like, for Capricorn bitches, we are not here for you. Hello.
I love it so much. Even if I'm also sometimes like, what? How is that even? You must be lying. And when we were younger, because we've been dating since 18. Wow. And I was like, I'm sorry. You must just be in denial. Because of course. Of course, you must secretly care a great deal.
Can't come say on, we man. Do.
But you know what? Yeah. So interesting for me about the not taking it personal thing is, maybe this is where I'm like, am I extra delusional? It's not that I also want to be loved, but when I say it's not personal, it helps me realize that people still, in my mind, the way I justify it is I feel people still love me, but if they're reacting negatively, it has nothing to do with me. That's them.
No.
Which is,
you're right. You're correct.
Which is true. Like, I find it to just be very helpful. Like, it's so helpful because it has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
But I still want to be loved.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, we are social species. We're hardwired for belonging. That's why Gemini, as a third sign in the zodiac, introduces the notion of humanity and appears in connection. That's not a coincidence. That's not an accident. It's because we are connected for stories, and Gemini's mutable air is the communicator and connection. So that's the power of the zodiac sign, which the North Node entering Gemini tomorrow, May 5th until January 2022, is going to teach the entire zodiac how to access. So I want to say two things about that as well, because you strike a lot of chords.
Yes, please.
One of the most powerful realizations around that energy was I watch videos of Naomi Campbell like it's my fucking full-time job.
Yes.
I love Naomi Campbell. Okay.
I love it.
Because she walks into places and she's bad. She's like, don't give a fuck about you. Don't give a fuck about you. But like sensitive too. But like, I don't give a fuck. Right. So she was on some, I think it was Graham Norton. And he was like, you know, I've met you several times, Naomi. And you're very sweet and very kind. But there is this aura of intimidation. She goes, that's on you. That's not on me. And she's a Capricorn rising. So she was like, that's on you, honey. And like everyone claps. I'm like, yes, Naomi. Okay. And then on that note, I wanted to talk about, because you had said about how to have the right words for your title on Instagram and other things.
Yeah.
The Course in Miracles broke this down for me before my career started. Thank Christ, literally, because apparently he scribed the whole fucking thing. Or the voice for Christ. So it was the distinction between content and form. So there's a lot of people who charge really expensive business packages to teach about the form. Right? How many numbers do you have to have? And what's the newsletter need to look like? And what's the hashtag strategy? And this and this and this and this. And listen, that's a time and a place for that. Let's train people how to be business owners and self-employed, grounded 100%. But ultimately, it's the content that impresses people, not the form. And if the content is just, hey, I'm here to be of service and I'm here to be, you know, to the best of my capability, using what I know to be true about spirituality to help you and improve the quality of your relationships, that's something so many people have in common. And what I love about content is that if you're aligning with something in content that purports you as separate, it's not content.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by purports you as separate?
Meaning like my twin sister is a school psychologist. The form of our careers, very different. The content, identical.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. She's here to be of service and she helps people who needs it. That's exactly how I approached my work as well. Mm-hmm. What makes our work different than any other artist, any other healer, any other writer, a doctor, an essential care worker, right? Because we are connected to unity. We have a lot of Aquarius transits happening soon and ongoing. And so again, if we are not aligning with that which would keep us connected to shared humanity, then we are seeing ourselves as precious little princesses over here who like to use the form to think that we're somehow grandiose. But people subconsciously know you're all about you, so I don't want to hire you. Mm-hmm. They know it. Mm-hmm. Let's stop kidding ourselves. The average consumer is extremely intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they can smell it if you're just doing it for the glamour of being a healer right now, mm-hmm. versus somebody who's like, yo, this shit is hard. I'm doing the best I can. You want to do it with me? I don't care if you don't. Mm-hmm. If you do, great. Yeah. That's content.
Yeah.
So it's really helpful to have that. Like, because for example, I got 30,000 followers on Instagram last week, right? So people were like, are you going to make a post about it and do the 30K in the balloons? I was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Because that's the form, the metrics, the number, the data, the algorithm. Look at me.
Right.
I don't give a fuck.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, that really helped me. I hope that helps. That distinction was super illuminating. And I think it could help anybody in a spiritual career just really not take themselves too seriously.
Yes. And that is something that I think I've learned about early on too, which is helpful. But it's always helpful to be reminded, because I can easily get stuck into like, I do this thing where I will vacillate between where I'll like, you know, be really connected to my work. And then it's essentially if my fear or my ego will then take me out of it again, and I'll be worrying about like numbers or metrics or something. And then I have to like bring myself back. So for me, it's just like a constant journey.
Yes.
And I can like,
go ahead. I was going to say, that's something your zodiac sign teaches us. Sorry. I love it.
You go. We get excited on this show, if you haven't noticed.
No, I love it. Aries moon, like big energy. Okay, no, I'm here for it. My best friend and I talk in parallel dialogue. I was going to say, Taurus energy teaches us that there is no safety and security in anything external. There's no safety and security in a fucking algorithm that still makes no goddamn sense to people. So why am I placing the worth and value of my day on this fucking number that I don't even fucking understand? And
totally.
It's not always accurate. So fuck off.
Yes.
My value, my worth, my security, it ain't dependent on that fucking bullshit. And Taurus energy knows that.
Yeah.
So I was giving you like the torch, like show us the way, honey.
Yeah.
Well, so this is interesting, because I was going to say, I can really see, you know,
I can really feel the energy at, like, when I'm in one mind space or the other, right? When I'm worried about how many people will like me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In social media, it's you can count it, right? Versus when I'm creating for, you know, content from a content perspective, to break it down the way you did. And I had this actually interesting. So I'm right now launching a course. By the time this is live, it will already be running. And amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I went into the records specifically to be like, can you help me not be in that case right now? Right? Because I'm like so fired up. Like, I've never believed in anything the way that I believe in this course. And in my bones, I'm like, this is going to change the lives of the people who take this course.
Yes.
And then I'm also like, but what if nobody comes? Right? Like, they're both having the same time. As I went into the records and was like, help me to like stay grounded and not be a nutcase. And what one of the things that came to me was, imagine, like, just imagine how the whole course is about how powerful we are. So this was really resonant, but it was like, before you go online, whether it's a live or a post or whatever, just take a moment to just imagine and like get in touch with, like deep in your heart, in touch with how fucking infinitely powerful you are. And when you're touching that, then write the post. And that has made so much difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I got all this. I love it, Kylie.
Yeah.
I love it. And now people will feel that too. So one of the things that I learned at a Marianne Williamson lecture was like, before you go on the meeting, before you go on the interview, before you go on the date, bless the people before you get there.
Right. Yes. That is something that she says, which I love too, so much too. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Which is genius, really. Because ultimately, if you're not doing that, you're worrying. You're worrying about like, how's this going to go? How's this going to go? But you could totally change that energy, bringing love in.
And then extending it outward too. So one of the things, Kylie, that my best friend, my Aries moon girl, told me. So when I was graduating with my master's degree at Parsons School of Design, I was nominated to be the commencement speaker, and I had to go through this really crazy application process. And I was so scared. The Capricorn moon in me was like, oh my God, if I fail, I will do so epically. Everyone's going to know. Mm. Right? I was freaking out, right? And the day before my interview, she said something so beautifully. She said, they want you to be the one. So go in there and give them what they want.
Oh.
So I didn't go in nervous. I didn't, right? And so do your readers. So do your students.
Right.
So do your, they want you to be the person they went on that fucking app for. Give them what they want. And then I swear to God, she was with me through and through, because she gave me a book called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, right? So the power of the organization creative process. And she goes, just take the book, read it, you know, before you get there, it'll be really calming. And then when I was being interviewed by like the board of trustees, you know, I could tell that one of the professors wanted to throw me a curveball, right? So she said, all right, so what are you reading that isn't academic? What are you reading that's helping you on a personal basis? And the book that my best friend got me was in my bag. So I took it out like fucking Vanna White. And I was like, as a matter of fact, I got the book right here. It's called Big Magic. Mm-hmm. And it's all about making your fucking dreams come true. And she said, I'll be there with you. I will find a way to let you know that I'm with you on that day, because I know you're going to kill it. And she was there when I talked about the book.
I love that. Yeah.
So she was like, talk about big power. She manifested. It's just an echoing of everything that you're saying, and just us knowing what we're capable of and what we can extend outward. I mean, once we know that, we're playing a completely different game on the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here taking notes, by the way, if you see.
I know.
Just like, here we go.
They want like you a highlighter. To be the one, so give them what they want, is going on my mirror. I don't even have notes on my mirror, but I don't actually even have a mirror, but I'm going to go get one so I can put it on there.
Big Aries energy. And when she said it to me, we were in Brooklyn, we were getting sushi. She was like just stirring her little fucking green tea. She said it. I was like, bitch, where do you get this? And it just has, it's lived in me ever since. Your students want you to be the one.
Yeah.
So give them what they want.
Give them what they want.
Oh my God, I love that so much. It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
She's brilliant. Brilliant.
Okay. So I have another question for you. Sure. Unless Eva, you had a question you were about to ask.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you shared with us very graciously your story about kind of in a moment reaching out and ending up watching a YouTube video of Marianne Williamson. And I'm curious to know, and that
that kind of started you on this path. Were you interested in astrology before that, or did that come later?
Great question. Absolutely. I was probably introduced to astrology arguably at 11 or 12 years old. Yeah, definitely then. My mother had read Linda Goodman's Sun Signs.
Yes, I also love Linda Goodman.
Oh my God, Aries Queen, right? So she read it. She's a double Cancer. She doesn't know. She didn't know she was a double Cancer at the time she only knew about Sun Signs. And she had a pair of Gemini twins because I'm a Gemini and a twin. So she went wild over that. And she's a Cancer, so the Divine Mother. Oh my God, right? And she spoke about it in the house all the time. She would be like, your father is such a fucking Leo. I'm going to rip his head off, right? I'm like, Leo, right? And then she would explain to me, that arrogant son of a bitch, I love him, but I'm going to kill him. And then she would explain, you, my Gemini, coming home every day, changing his mind with a new career goal. And I was like, what? And then I just Googled it. And I literally remember the first time I typed in G-E-M-I-N-I, like AOL.com. It totally seized me. And I've been studying it passionately ever since. But when I was 23, 24, when I found A Course in Miracles, that was also parallel the moment when I started going to astrology lectures through NCGR, which is an astrology nonprofit. I started going out of my way to learn about it. And so both of those curiosities existed at the same time. And I'm so, so glad they did, because I think that's what has led to my professional success ever since. Because I'm not trying to be like self-indulgent about it, but no, truly, if I was just talking about astrology without bringing in other materials, I don't think I'd be able to make it my business today.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that goes back to what we were saying earlier about the way you use astrology to expand, right? Okay. Rather than shore up the ego, right? But yes. So the fact that your development of astrology went hand in hand with your spiritual development seems like it shows up in your work all the time. That makes perfect sense.
Right. And because it's about love, right? And so when we do things because we love it, rather than like, how can I make money off of this? And I get it. There are times and places for that conversation. I'm not saying we can't have that. But if you're coming at it purely from, I'm unattached to outcome. Like, I backed into my astrology career. I was like, oh, so I should do this professionally, right? And like, oh, okay. Gemini shit showed up late, like, you know, but I'm so glad that I did, because again, people will smell it on you if you're trying to sell them something, if you're dancing on the table to get people to like them, you know, and I just was never here for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. You guys are getting me on a warpath today. It's like 9:30 at night. I'm going to bed like, let me fucking tell you something. Okay.
Yeah, we're getting you riled up before you get to bed. It's going to take you a little bit longer to fall asleep tonight. I do want to ask a question about, you said something earlier about honoring your nature.
Yes, 100%.
However, here's a problem I have. I'm a Capricorn through and through. At least it feels that way. But sometimes I don't want to be a Capricorn, because in my mind, Capricorn is like, it's what causes me stress. And so I almost feel like my spiritual journey, a lot of it is learning how to not be attached to outcomes. It's all the spiritual stuff, which I feel like is in direct opposite of what a Capricorn is, which is like, go by the plan, like be, work hard, hustle, blah, 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 blah. So like, I'm confused. Like, people ever try to not be their sign? And is that bad?
Yes. Yes. And I'm really glad you brought that up. And then we're going to talk about Capricorn, because we have Jupiter in Capricorn until the end of this year, and Pluto's in Capricorn until, like, I think 2024. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is really, I don't know what evergreen. That means. This is evergreen information. So, well, first I want to ask you, yes, it is, I would say it is deeply dangerous to go against your nature. And one of the metaphors that Marianne uses, and Eckhart Tolle as well, is that when the cell disconnects from its natural intelligence, from its nature, that's a cancer cell in the human body. When the cells go offline and go insane, that's exactly the first cancer cell. And it's a dramatic metaphor, but it's very accessible, that like, when you go offline and go against your nature, let me know how that works out for you.
Right. It causes sickness, essentially. I mean, I love that analogy.
Absolutely. And I think it's in the 12 steps where they say, like, you know, oh no, excuse me, it's A Course in Miracles. And it says that there's a limit to which this we cannot miscreate, meaning we will bottom out, and even like these emotional debts will be paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Related to Capricorn, though, that's also a zodiac sign that we forget half the story. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time, right? So ambitious, so hardworking, blah, blah, blah. Right? I'm like, yeah, I know, water is wet, but let me fucking tell you something. The lower half of the Capricorn, it's the fish tail. Mm-hmm. So I know they know how to climb the top of the worldly mountain, but they technically also have a high register of emotion regulation. Mm. Because Capricorn energy can theoretically swim to the bottom of the ocean and dwell with the best of Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Do we talk about that? Oh,
interesting.
No, we're like, right. They're just so organized.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, yeah. No, you don't know your shit. Because what it's really saying is that, like, Capricorn represents the success that is achieved through emotional self-mastery.
That's the most Eva thing I've ever heard.
Seriously. I was like, you just fucking nailed me.
And honestly, like, we were kind of posturing and joking about, like, Capricorns being not here for these bitches. But when we are in a friendship, in a business partnership, in love, in family, we will move heaven and earth for the ones that we love. Make no mistake. Mm-hmm. But it takes a long time to earn that. Mm-hmm. And it's very quickly lost. Because if you betray us or you have, like, way too many imperfections, we're like, get out of here. Okay. But no, Capricorn energy is deeply emotionally invested, deeply emotionally caring, right? Mm-hmm. And so you ought to want to see yourself as that Capricorn iconography. I always think of Michelle Obama as a perfect Capricorn example.
Yes.
Oh my God. If you read Becoming, you'll be like, oh no, I totally want to be a Capricorn.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If you, and even just the other Capricorn figures, I think of Muhammad Ali. I think of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Alan Watts. He's a famous, we share the same birthday.
Oh shit. Okay. Amazing. Yeah. There's so many Capricorn figures and I see them as just these extraordinary pioneers and leaders. And Jessica Lignato is a triple Capricorn. She's an astrologer. I love her deeply. She's a friend of mine.
She's great.
She's so good at what she does. And she is so empathetic. And as her friend, I see that. I receive it. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know it because she works her ass off. So that's the Capricorn thing. It's like, look, they're not walking around telling everybody because they're not virtue signaling hello, right? But they just do it. And like, I'm down with that. Anyway, yeah.
This is really helpful though. I think for just, it's helpful for me, but also I'm wondering for other listeners out there is that like, there's so much to our signs. It's not just the things that I think society highlights as like the thing that, I think the reason society can highlight the Capricorn that way is because it's the thing that is rewarded in our society to be like a hustler, or it's the thing that we can like kind of like make fun of.
Yes.
But I'm sure there's so much more to every single sign than any of us know, unless we work with someone like you, or, you know, we're doing the in-depth like research and the reading, then like we wouldn't know. Cause that's what you're pointing out to me is resonating with me, but it's, you're right. Like if you hadn't told me that, I would just lost the nuance of my own, of my own sign. So there's so much to learn there.
There's so much. And it's not just our sun signs too. I mean, the moon, Venus, Mars, North Node. I mean, we could talk hours about each aspect, each planet. You know, Jessica, God love her. She's like, oh, I don't do sun sign astrology. I'm like, yeah, easy for you to say, you're a triple fucking Capricorn, you know? But like for others who, you know, this is their way in, or for other aspects, like we can inhabit so many different dimensions of this conversation. It's so nuanced. It's so layered. And I love it. Yeah.
But what if there are parts of your sign that you don't like though? Cause I'm still stuck with this part, this idea that there are parts of my Capricorn sign, or just that I'm like, I'm wondering if my lesson is to not be so much that, or, you know, if you're like a Leo and you like love attention, or if you're like a Pisces and you're super romantic, is it ever beneficial to try and not be so that?
Well, I would ask you to examine why you don't like it.
Mm.
You know, like I had to examine, man, you know, why does everybody talk so much shit about Geminis? Oh, because they're the sign of change. No one likes change. So that's why I'm nervous to announce this out loud. And then I had to unlearn the fact that, again, like, you know, the Ralph Waldo Emerson quote, which I love, that foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. So I was like, oh, well then, man, I can own and inhabit my Gemini change and say, fuck you if you don't like it, right? So it's like really examining, why do we have this resistance to it? And then if the sun is drastically different from the moon, it would make sense too, because then you have to really kind of register, oh, it is difficult for me to become the sun sign because I'm born the moon. Mm-hmm. So it's the moon talking to the sun, right? My Capricorn moon looked at Gemini like, oh, those flighty motherfuckers, right? But then I was like, no, I can be grounded and analytical and creative at the same time. So it's just all these other ways that we can bring it in. But yeah, really examine, like, what's the rejection, yeah, around it? Especially for cancers too. Like, oh, I don't want to be sensitive. Well, you're teaching us how it's done. And I know that the world that we live in is a sociopathic fucking model, right? Because we love to act like, you know, our economic principles don't have emotional impacts on other people. Our government doesn't do that. So cancer represents the wisdom of emotional intelligence. So I think that's more societal rather than astrological and spiritual. Unlearning that extends the power outward.
Yeah.
Oh, I really love that, because basically we all have bullshit conditioning because white supremacy, capitalism, patriarchy, 100%. Et cetera. And that smushed on top of a caricature of your sun sign, for example, could create this resistance.
Totally.
Like, you know, Eva feeling like, not to put words in your mouth, but you know, oh, I have to be industrious, full stop. Like we've talked about this before, right? This pressure to be industrious. Mm-hmm. And is it you speaking because you enjoy being industrious? Is it capitalism speaking? Right. Because
is it my conditioning from capitalism? Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And where do you find the balance?
The truth. Yeah.
And like the middle space to put it in terms, right?
Wait, sorry. I think you're cutting out a little bit for me. I don't know.
Yes. Go ahead. Say it again.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying, the middle space. Where do we find the middle space? Mm-hmm. Yes. Another way to think of it, which I envision as like literally being in a room where the different pieces of like the different pieces of your relationship to being industrious are like floating in the room, and you're just there, and you don't have to actually hold any of them. They all just get to be in the room with you, but you're still separate from them.
Hmm. Oh yeah, that's a read for all the Capricorns out there, isn't it? Myself included. That was beautiful. That was like a straight up records channeling, by the way.
Actually, yeah, it was.
Yeah, I was like, who are you talking to? Me? Are you talking to all the Capricorns?
Yeah, as I was talking, I was like, oh, hi, I see where this is coming from.
Yes, well, and I think too that message is delineated to help us understand that really. If we're trying to use the Capricorn qualities to be of service, then we are honoring that capacity. That's what it comes down to, because really so Capricorns love to be emotionally empathetic. They love to show up and contribute problem solving and strategies, right? They can be hyper-functioning. So it's like, just be careful, you know, there's a little bit of glamour for being the one who's the most responsible. Mm-hmm. But it really comes down to they're utilizing their resilience and their problem solving to be of service. And I think they do get a lot of fulfillment from them. And I think you're going to want to like think about, am I just tired because I worked really hard today and I feel fulfilled in my gifts and abilities? Or am I just like absolutely exhausted and burnout?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then that will tell you everything you need.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. So nourishing. I love this. This is why I love making this podcast.
Yes, right? Oh, and see, and people want to hear it. And you being a part of that and doing the work and sending me emails and all this, keeping that container for the space is exactly what helps the information flow. Mm-hmm. So that's where you really shine. And I love this too. The Course in Miracles says that just because your gifts or your miracles do not have observable effects does not deny that they happened or their efficacy. Mm-hmm. So that right there unleashed my attachment to, in order for me to know I'm doing good work, it has to have observable effects. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. Right.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. And the Course basically is like, it's not up to you to look for that. Just walk with faith that your state of being, your state of doing is having the effect. So just mind your fucking business.
Yep. It doesn't say it like that, but yes.
I get a version of that in the records all the time, which is that like, as we heal ourselves, like the ripple effects that go out through the universe are so profound. I'm going to mess up. I mean, I'm going to remember the exact words, but basically that said, like one drop of you deeply, deeply loving yourself is the most impactful thing you can ever possibly do. And we spend so much time thinking that in order to change the world, we have to go and like schlep shit around, right? Like we, mm-hmm. like we have to go like build walls or, you know, whatever the thing is. And that has this place and it's important. But again and again and again, I see this message that is like, and this image that as we heal ourselves, like literally we become taller. We like start glowing with energy. We can change the actual world, and it comes from healing and loving the shit out of who we are right now, not as a nicety, but as the way to transform the whole paradigm.
Yes. Fuck bitch, yes, queen.
Are you an Aries moon or are you a fucking Aries moon? And to put an Aquarius spin on that, yes, because we are each other. So when Kylie loves herself, she's loving all of humanity. Mm-hmm. And so there is nothing, you know, spiritual seeking and being generous of self-love is out of self-interest, because you connecting to your heart space does extend outward. So you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
just to remind us through Aquarius energy that when we recognize and claim the self-love and claim our sovereignty and freedom and power, because we are each other, that is extended outward.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
I have one last question.
All the questions.
Before we transition to our last question, which is, right now we're all in quarantine. The world is like very fucking overwhelming. I know. Right? Unless like I've actually, I think in a lot of ways, just being like, I'm at home with my small kids, but I'm just right, you know, blinders up. Can you speak? I feel like I have. Let's try this again. Eva, you might want to cut that.
Okay.
You're doing great. I believe in you.
thank you. Do you have some guidance for our listeners as we can understand sort of the cosmic impact or the energies around what we're experiencing right now?
That's such a great question. You know, how old are your kids?
3 and 1.
Okay, so I'm not an Akashic Records reader at all, but I can kind of get intuitive insights. And I really saw that you rising to the occasion and already doing what you're doing as being the loving mother that you are, and loving a 3 and a 1-year-old, there is nothing more sacred and holy than that. Nothing.
Oh, like, thanks.
The gift of the mother right now. And the gift of those children who are reminding you of joy, of pleasure, of imagination. They don't fucking know what's going on, and they shouldn't. And so they're teaching you to stay in that energy as well, and then also mourn what is being lost. The clarification I have for people is, in front of you in this moment, look for signs of life and grieve what needs to be lost.
That's and beautiful.
It's about having that both-end approach, right? North Node and Gemini. And I have a 1.5-year-old niece who is just totally reminding me of just life and vibrancy and girl power and fun and imagination. And we're just having a blast together. And then I am talking to my mother about, we're both native New Yorkers, so it's just so difficult to see what's happening to our city. And we're devastated for that. Both are true. But look for life. Look for what's in front of you. And know that there is room for pleasure and joy in the crisis. And we also, as spiritual seekers, must minister to the dying. We have to do both.
Yeah.
But that's the realest way. We have a full moon in Scorpio on Thursday. So I don't know when this is going to be released, but Scorpionic energy teaches us that the most authentic dimensions of life are where we show up for both the birthday party and the funeral in equal passion, right? Mm. And so that would be my suggestion, is like, pay attention to both. And then honor the love that's right in front of you. That's why I was like, let's talk about your kids for a minute. Mm. because that's no like afterthought. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and you being the mother that you are, you're creating the world for them, that you are the world to them. What's a higher gift? What's more beautiful than that? And I don't want to like overly romanticize motherhood, because I know it is hard, and especially culture today, it doesn't let you be the woman behind the mother. So I don't want you to think that that's your only value or worth. But I think it's just really beautiful to know that like that's who you are to them, and like pay attention to what's happening in the present moment. You have two kids, you know, and Eva, your family, whoever's in front of you, your loved ones, you know, really showing up and listening and tending to their inner world and just seeing like, who are you, you know, and just holding space for the relationships that ultimately determine the life quality.
Yeah.
Relationships, bringing it back to relationships, full circle.
Full circle, right?
Full circle, always. Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you something right now. We can call a lot of things spiritual, but if there's not interpersonal relational dynamics, it ain't fucking spiritual. It is the ersatz version. And we, as influenced earth signs, we have to be the ones to be like, yeah, no, I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Like what you're doing to be a mother to two wonderful kids who will grow up with a mother who's deeply grounded in security and then also connected to otherworldly energies. I mean, these kids are blessed to have you. And because they're blessed, we're all blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Preach.
Well, they're wild too.
Like, I'm sure.
Roll the update. I was a real obsessed with, I love watching their like awareness of, like, because they have their own, so he's obsessed with, like, we have to have a new rule where he can only have one in each hand at bedtime because there was no room for him in the bed.
You mean you mean crystals?
Yeah, yeah. And I asked him the other day, like, why do you love them so much? And he goes, I said, what's so special to you about your special stones? And he just goes, I like listening to their heartbeat.
Oh, I just got chills. The wisdom,
right?
I cannot. Yeah. Okay, what are their birthdays?
So my son is also a Capricorn. Capricorn, whoa. Sun, Pisces, Moon.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then my daughter is a Pisces Sun, and I'm actually forgetting what her moon sign is, because when she, I kind of made a rule of myself to not look at their chart when they were super little, because I didn't want to Yeah, so my daughter. So, but I think it's very sweet that he has the Pisces moon and she's a Pisces sun sign.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, they will be so connected. And Eva, that Capricorn's reflection of, I like listening to their heartbeat. Mm-hmm. That's Capricorn. Because it's not, you know, yeah, he's only three. So really, what could he be of his sun sign? But I'm sure there are even little solar flares in his personality. But he's holding earth and he's feeling the heartbeat.
Oh my God. Like yes. Really resonate with that too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he's not like, well, I just believe they're going to give me the medicinal properties to make sure that, you know, going into
right.
the memorandum Capricorn, right?
Yeah.
He said, I like listening to the heartbeat. Oh, I love that. Oh, that gave me like so many feels, and I like hugged him in my head.
Your 1.5-year-old niece must have similar moments where she just does things that you're like, boy, just blow your mind.
She doesn't talk yet, but I just that she calls bunnies hops and snowmen.
Yeah, I know. It's like the cutest thing. It's the cutest thing.
She calls snowmen no ice. And I'm like, you know what? Who am I to tell you that that's not the right word?
No, my son started calling the backyard the backin' yard. And in our house, it's the front yard and the back yard. He's going to be like 10 and we're still going to be like back in yard.
I know, right? And then they'll like have to smarten you up and be like, Mom, that's not what it is. And you'd be like,
yeah.
You said it first. I know. I love it. There's nothing more sacred. And Eva, are you with anybody? What's your current?
Yeah, so I am with my partner. Well, I have my own apartment and my partner has his own apartment. So we have the luxury of sort of like having our own space and then we like meet. But I just got back from California. I went to LA to go help my brother with his kids because him and his wife are both working from home and I think they were kind of losing their shit, just like kind of spread thin. So I was like, I drove over there and I'm relating to all of this kid stuff right now because it was so lovely to be with my family and to the, like, with kids, there's just joy. There's just 100%. So much joy. And I love it. I feel it, like, I feel like it cleansed me a little bit.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Even
yes.
though I was tired as shit also, by the way, like, you know, waking up at six, getting woken up at 6:30, constantly yes. entertaining them. But like, it's just a different, you know, it's a different kind of energy, which is much appreciated.
And see, the fact that you, Capricorn, was like, they give me joy. Again, mm-hmm. just want to salute the best of your energy and that you mm-hmm. showed up for family. I mean, yeah. what is love if it isn't practiced? It's meaningless.
Yes. And your
Capricorn energy was like, bitch, yes. I'm driving to you.
Also, with a very practical application of you need help with your childcare, right? Like, I am lovingly of service.
Right, because you guys got work to do.
Right, exactly. Oh yeah. my, I feel like feeling so seen and so validated. Thank you, seriously.
Yes. Oh, thank you. This has been so much fun. It fucking flew. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe the time went by so quickly. All right, we got to wind it up. So
yes,
we do like to end the question, the podcast, with one last question, which is, what's something that's bringing you joy right now?
The fact that I memorized the first two measures of the Slave for You by Britney Spears choreography.
Oh my God, wait, yes. Okay, people who are listening, you have to go check out Colin's Instagram, because I love your dance routines. I love your lip syncs. They're so fun to watch.
Oh my God, thank you.
So yes, go if you want to just, I was watching them today because I was feeling kind of just like tired from the travel. And I was just, I like was scrolling through your feed and just found myself like laughing out loud and being energized. Oh, it was so good. So yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. That means so much to me because something about dancing has just been really helpful for me, because I learned Esther Perel in one of her podcasts, she said that dancing is like one of the only, if not the only, physical activity that we can do and just not emotionally, it's impossible to be sad at the same time.
Mm. Is that true? I'm pretty sure I've sad cried danced before. I'm trying to think if I have.
Give it a try. Like and it's not to say like, oh, you know, just deny the feelings. What she's just essentially saying is that when we get to the moment when we know that the emotion is self-indulgent, mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. we went mm-hmm. past the point of processing, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We're just like putting the sprinkles on it.
Yeah.
She's like, start fucking dancing. It just emotionally cleanses the body.
Yeah.
And yeah, old
school. Oh, for sure. I've been doing so much dancing in quarantine too. Just like extra dancing, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what's been giving me a ton of joy, but I got to work out those steps because they're not easy. But I think I got it.
All right. I cannot wait to see all of it on the gram. I want to see the whole routine in the story.
Yes. I'm working on it. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
That's very impressive.
What's giving you both joy? Let's flip the script.
Yeah. I will answer that. So I was talking about just coming back from California and being with my two nephews they're 6.5 and 2. Cuddles. Cuddles. I don't know. Do parents talk about cuddles all the time? Cause like, this is the best part, I think, of being around kids is like, the cuddles are insane.
We just don't tiny. Because it would be cruel to talk about how great the cuddles are.
No, and like what that does to our serotonin levels.
Totally. Oh my God. They just like fit perfectly in my lap, and they're not self-conscious yet. You know, they're still young enough that they just love up on you. They just want to crawl on you. And that brought me so much joy. So I'm missing them already, even though I was like, the whole time I was there, I was like, I'm tired. But now that I'm gone, I'm like, I miss you guys.
Well, you'll go back. Yeah,
for sure.
That's a sacred relationship. Yeah. And Kylie, what's giving you joy? The fact that a murderer hasn't come behind you yet? Or
I'm in, for listeners, I'm in what I'm calling the murder basement to record this episode.
I love it.
Let's see. So I just want to share something, Eva, about the cuddles, which is also that I was going through something very difficult, and I was in the records, and I was sort of asking for comfort. Mm. And I think it was after I left the records, but I had this moment of like this memory of my grandmother, who's very dear to me, who died a decade ago. And I had all of a sudden this like bodily memory of being held in her arms. Mm. And like you ever have that moment where like you can remember the physical feeling of something? And I could physically remember what it felt like to like sit in her lap and be held by her, and just realize that it was the greatest fucking feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. And which is to say, that as much love as you were getting out of those cuddles, mm-hmm. they were getting the same thing. So what is bringing me joy right now? Well, to keep with the kid theme, my daughter is almost 14 months and she's starting to walk. And she's so funny. She is the most independent kid on the planet. And so she just cracks me up so much. So she doesn't walk. She can literally stand up and dance. She will stand up and dance, but she won't take steps.
I love it.
Largely because I think she's like, guys, crawling is very efficient. I don't understand why I would try a different model. And so I'm just like freaking loving watching the process of her like learning to stand and dance. Now she steps, she stands, and then she claps and looks at us because we get so excited. So just that whole process is like just such a delight. And so that is bringing me an absurd amount of joy right now.
I love that. Yeah. And you know what's so beautiful about all these things? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Wade. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I brought together the dancing from Collins and the kids from Eva.
Working it.
Make those connections.
Working it, girl.
Look at you, Taurus. And I think, too, to bring up Dr. Brené Brown's research, she says that it's the full appreciation of these small moments that work like a kind of stockpile of emotional and cellular memory that helps us withstand during resilience. So it's this concept of, because we're fully available to these ordinary moments, we can handle crisis.
Right. Because so if we're not available, it makes it harder to handle crisis, for sure.
Without a doubt. And you say that with like total conviction, which is wonderful. And yet a lot of people think that in order to protect myself from the inevitable, I will live in the records of the future and dress rehearse tragedy, forebode joy. So when it's in front of me, I'm not going to fully access it because I can't miss what's not in front of me. I can't miss what I never have. So I'll just lock myself out. I won't fully show up, but it's actually, it's really, really counterintuitive. So I just love that we're all doing our best to pay attention to the small moments because that's all we have right now.
And I think there's a way too that we're afraid that it's somehow a betrayal of those people who are suffering. That if I truly let myself celebrate my life right now, I'm not properly respecting the people who are losing so much right now. Mm-hmm. And I would say it's exactly the opposite, right? That you have to appreciate the joy that is in front of you, because what would that other person would do so much to have that joy, and it's to throw that gift away,
totally,
to not actually savor it for what it is.
100%, 100%.
I'm gonna stay with that.
I mean, I could say a whole thing about that, but let's just say amen. Mic drop.
Amen. Mic drop.
All right, Colin. Where can the people find you? Can you tell us where are you? Social medias, all of it.
They can find me at queercosmos.com, and that's my social media profile. So that's where they can just search me, QUEERCOSMOS.
Awesome.
Yes. Awesome. And thank you so much for having me. This was such a delight. Thank you.
Oh my God. The pleasure was ours, truly.
Mutual, baby. Yeah. But I hope you feel better about being a Capricorn now.
I do actually. Yes. Good. And I'm also going to go and do some deeper reflection about my resistance, because that's where the work always is. Yeah.
And Kylie, whatever I can do to help promote or share your class, send me an email or an Instagram DM, whatever. And I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. Oh my God, Colin, you're the best. I will.
Please.
All right. Kylie, do you want to share where people can find you?
Akasha Grace on the gram, and our Facebook group, the Hello Universe Community, where I do readings once a week for everybody, and we post videos, and it's just, people are lovely and warm, and you should join us.
It's an awesome community. And you can find me, Eva, at Bad Bitch Living on Instagram, or at my website at evaliao.com. And if you like the show, please share it with your friends, subscribe, write a review. It really helps us so much. So thanks for listening, y'all.
Thank you.
Bye.